This is part of the speech or the sermon given by Moses to the Israelites shortly before they entered the Promised Land. It's part of their preparation. And towards the end, you'll hear the instructions which are still followed by observant Jews to this day. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life, and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
And reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12, for the first 8 verses. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me."
Let us pray. Living God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Now the first gift, time. I said in the theme introduction that our society says that time is money. But we know that money cannot buy us love. And if you think otherwise, I'm sure most people would not give away their memories with their loved ones for any money at all. Time is valuable. We shouldn't waste it. And what does it mean to waste time? We may think that we're wasting time when we're serving others. When somebody stops us to have a conversation, We may feel like we're wasting time when we need to pray in the morning. The things that we value, the things that we place our time into, are the things that we value in our hearts. Time is a gift. So how can we say that there's a price on it? The scriptures tell us in the Gospel of John and in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus went to the town of Bethany, to the home of Lazarus, the one whom he resurrected from the dead. There Mary came to Jesus with an alabaster jar. It was a jar of pure nard, an extremely expensive sweet perfume, worth 300 denarii. That was the yearly income for a family of that age. To put that into perspective, that would be like our current money of 29,588 pounds, which is the average yearly income in the UK. Would you spend almost 30,000 pounds on a bottle of perfume? I wouldn't. But she did. She did. But why did she do it? Mark tells us that Mary broke the jar even. She did not only pour it, she broke it. The reason being is that the jar she had was not like this jar of perfume. It was made out of alabaster. It was a stone, a mineral very similar to marble. And when they would stop the jar after they filled it with perfume or wine or another household preservative, they would usually seal it with wax or with a cork. And the only way to open it was, unfortunately, to break the seal or to break the jar itself. So she had to break this jar in order to release the smell of the perfume. 30,000 pounds gone in one fell swoop. I believe that this is an illustration of something deeper for our lives too. The stone of the jar reminds us of our hearts. We read in the Bible that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Psalm 51, verse 17. We also read in Ezekiel that God says, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from you and give you a heart of flesh, a softened heart." God is saying in these passages that he's going to remove the heart of stone that we have within us and give us a new heart. Our heart of stone must be broken. We need a heart transplant. It is what the Apostle Paul was challenging the people of when he told them that they were carnal-minded, that they had solid hearts. I wonder if any of us here today has come with hearts that are hardened to the things of God. Have our hearts been hardened to the things that have happened to the people around us? What do we feel when we see somebody homeless in the streets? To have a hardened heart, to be carnally minded, is not an issue of our spirit, but an issue of the mind. It is to place our feelings above that of service to others. To place what we want to do before what we can do for other people. To place service of self above fellowship and service to our fellow companions and human beings. But back to the passage. The room stood still as Mary made her way to the front to Jesus. I'm sure everybody there were embarrassed by her actions. What was she doing? Jesus was there with his disciples at the front. Why is she showing everybody up? But she captured something that they didn't capture. She knew the Old Testament prophecies, and there she was declaring that here was the Messiah, the promised one. Somebody worth more than 30,000 pounds. God. She was with the disciples when Jesus had explained the death that he would die. But they did not get it. She was with the disciples when he declared himself to be the Messiah. But they did not understand it. They did not want to believe it. Their hearts were hardened. You are the Messiah, and if you are the Messiah, you're not meant to die. You're the one who's meant to liberate Israel from the occupation of the Empire of Rome. You cannot die. And then we read that out of nowhere she walks in. She anoints the feet of Jesus with a costly perfume. And the self-professed followers of Jesus scoff at her. Their hearts were hardened. And so, like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, they jeer at her. And they miss the mark. They miss what is happening in front of them. But Jesus did not. He did not condemn her. He did not doubt her. He did not question the use of her time. Rather, he blessed her. What would we do if somebody walked in here and suddenly started anointing somebody on their head? They pulled out some shampoo and were washing somebody's head. How would you respond? When somebody has had their hardened heart softened, there is a transformation that takes place. What Jesus called a new life, being born again. The old things, the former things have passed away, and the person who stands before us is completely new, and they do things that they would never have done before. Mary knew the customs of her society. She knew that she should not interrupt the meal and the meeting that Jesus was having with the disciples and others. And it's tough to say in this day and age, but she knew the place that a woman had in that culture. But she broke it. Because the one she came to was worth much more than the cultural norms at that time. And she realized that the opportunity that she had, that the time she had, should not be wasted. And so she broke it. And she spent it. Time is a gift. A true gift from God. How are we spending it? Another illustration that we get from the analogy of oil in the Bible is that of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who allows us to fulfill the commandments that God gave to the people of Israel in the first reading. To love the Lord our God with all of our minds, our might, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our holistic being. And it's only God who can help us do that. It is God who guides us to be better friends and family members. It is God who guides us to be parents and grandparents in the truest sense of the words. It is God who guides us to be husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, children. It is God who guides us to be servants and companions. And it is God who cares about our business, our school, and our lives. Because God cares about people, and God cares about each one of you. But it's harder to believe it than it is to say it. And it's challenging, because sometimes when people have hurt us, it's difficult to think that God loves that person who has wronged us. Somebody once told me that she struggles to understand how God can love Hitler as much as God loves one of his children who are suffering. But God does. When you look at the person who has wronged you, the person who you don't want to spend time serving, what do you see? It's not an easy question to answer. And it's not a comfortable message. But God does call us to spend our time wisely. And God calls us to give of the most costly things that we have to the people, to the least, who we may want to give them to. And God calls us to do it, not in our strength, but in the strength of His Holy Spirit, to serve. Service. A love that calls us to serve. Now you may point back and say to me, Jacob, that is hard. And I'll challenge you and say, that is the cost of service. When we see a tree full of fruit, we don't know how deep the roots of that tree go. We don't know whether, as soon as a wind blows it or if there's a storm, that tree will be uprooted. Yet we trust in faith that the tree may be in our gardens will stand firm and the fruits will not be wasted. So too it is in our lives, and so too it is with our neighbours. We cannot see what is going on in somebody's heart. We cannot tell if somebody's heart is hardened or not. But when it comes to our own roots, those roots are instilled through spending time with God and through prayer and through reading our Bibles. And it's just these roots that lead us to count the cost of our time and to serve with self-giving service. So back to Mary. There she was, at the beginning, standing there with a choice. What is she going to do? She counted the cost. And so did Judas. At that moment of time, who could have counted the cost of that alabaster box? The jar of amazing price poured out on the feet of a visiting preacher. Judas counted the cost. And the Pharisees thought they knew the price. But what they thought was the value actually revealed that they had no clue of what God had shown was true. So as Christ looked at Mary, and as he spoke rebuke to Judas, we see that he not only showed his authority, but he showed his priority. God saw Mary for who she really was. And he saw that her heart was no longer stone, but had been broken and was softened. Someone of profound faith who took the risk to walk the way. Bowing at the feet of a human being, she knew in the law it was forbidden. Yet in front of the incarnate God, all she wanted was to be forgiven. Faith so profound, she humbled herself to the ground and anointed the feet of the incarnate God.